You're listening to Morning Edition from Red River Radio. I'm Chuck Smith. This week, commentator Dr. Gary Joyner looks at generals who became president and examines those who failed and those who succeeded.
Every leader can't be George Washington, the father of his country, the iconic battlefield leader turned gentleman statesman, above reproach, lionized, and idealized. Not every great military commander is suited to be the nation's highest-ranking official. Some certainly have done well in the presidency, but others have not been able to translate their battlefield victories into political greatness. The same qualities that make a good field commander should be beneficial in post-war political careers. The ability to organize large numbers of people, to develop and implement complex plans, and to inspire people all contribute to a general's greatness as well as to a president's. And I can't help but mention the importance of name recognition and popularity that come with press reports of battlefield accomplishments. The United States loves heroes, and from time to time, we have chosen generals as presidents. Let's consider a few. George Washington, Andrew Jackson, William Henry Harrison, Zachary Taylor, Ulysses S. Grant, Rutherford B. Hayes, James A. Garfield, and Dwight Eisenhower. Washington set the gold standard. Although he certainly had problems with Congress during the Revolution, as one of the richest men in the new country, he possessed great intellect, family connections, and a personality that endeared him to those who knew him. Also, as the first president, he set the benchmark. It was Washington who decided that the president should serve only 2 terms in office, the precedent that was finally enacted into law following Franklin D. Roosevelt's presidency. Due to the nature of the American Revolution and its obvious importance in creating the country, Washington's deeds were all but impossible to match. Andrew Jackson was a very different man from Washington, a man of the people, a military commander, and a statesman, but rough-hewn, as indicated by his nickname, Old Hickory. Already well known before the War of 1812 for his exploits fighting Indians, he became perhaps the most famous man in America for his victory at the Battle of New Orleans. His presidency changed the face of government forever, making it more democratic. But how much do we remember about William Henry Harrison, James A. Garfield, and Rutherford B. Hayes? Harrison, who, like Jackson, was noted for his feats in the War of 1812, died just 30 days after taking office. Garfield is best known for being assassinated by an anarchist, and Hayes is cited for being the president when Reconstruction finally ended and the Gilded Age began, but his election was tainted, being decided in the Electoral College. Zachary Taylor might have been a great president, but he was not in office long enough to make a difference. Just months after taking office, he fell ill after participating in a blistering 4th of July ceremony and 5 days later was dead. Ulysses S. Grant achieved the level of fame during the Civil War that rivaled that of Washington in the Revolution, but his presidency was riddled with scandal, intrigue, and mismanagement. Personally honest, Grant allowed others around him far too much power. They, plus his declining health, were his undoing. Finally, one of the great heroes of World War II was Dwight D. Eisenhower, who rose in rank to be the supreme commander of the Allied forces in Europe. As president, he led the free world in the Cold War for 2 terms. Perhaps Ike's greatest legacy was that he was the last president to serve in what might be called a simpler time. He was like a grandfather, and indeed, across generations, I Like Ike struck a chord with Americans. Ike had to make some very tough choices, particularly in the arena of civil rights and in foreign policy. His calm demeanor and steely judgment made him a success in war, and also made him a success in the highest elective office. Will America have another great warrior president? This would require a war with clear aims and goals and a plan to win. No one wants another great war, so perhaps we should condition ourselves to accept something less. But whatever the election's outcome, the presidency is history, history that matters.
History Matters is made possible in part by the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities and Louisiana Cultural Vistas magazine.